the feeling that real life may have ended for me deep in that well in the desert of Outer Mongolia. I feel as if, in the intense light that shone for a mere 10 or 15 seconds a day in the bottom of the well, I burned up the very core of my life until there was nothing left. That is how mysterious that light was to me. I can't explain it very well, but as honestly and simply as I can state it, no matter what I have encountered, no matter what I have experienced since then, I ceased to feel anything in the bottom of my heart. Even in the face of those monstrous Soviet tank units, even when I lost this left hand of mine, even in the hellish Soviet internment camps, a kind of numbness was all I felt. It may sound strange to say this, but none of that mattered. Something inside me was already dead. Perhaps, as I felt at the time, I should have died in that light, simply faded away. That was the time for me to die. But as Mr. Honda had predicted, I did not die there. Or perhaps I should say that I could not die there. I came back to Japan having lost my hand and 12 precious years. By the time I arrived in Hiroshima, my parents and my sister were long since dead. They had put my little sister to work in a factory, which was where she was when the bomb fell. My father was on his way to see her at the time, and he too lost his life. The shock sent my mother to her deathbed. She finally passed away in 1947. As I told you earlier, the girl to whom I had been secretly engaged was now married to another man, and she had given birth to 2 children. In the cemetery, I found my own grave. There was nothing left for me. I felt truly empty, and knew that I should not have come back there. I can hardly remember what my life has been like since then. I became a social studies teacher and taught geography and history in high school, but I was not, in the true sense of the word, alive. I simply performed the mundane tasks that were handed to me one after another. I never had a single real friend, no human ties with the students in my charge. I never loved anyone. I no longer knew what it meant to love another person. I would close my eyes and see Yamamoto being skinned alive. I dreamed about it over and over. Again and again I watched them peel the skin off and turn him into a lump of flesh. I could hear his heart-rending screams. I also had dreams of myself slowly rotting away, alive in the bottom of the well. Sometimes it seemed to me that that was what had really happened, and that my life here was the dream. When Mr. Honda told me on the bank of the Kalka River that I would not die on the continent, I was overjoyed. It was not a matter of believing or not believing. I wanted to cling to something then, anything at all. Mr. Honda probably knew that and told me what he did in order to comfort me. But there was to be no joy for me. After returning to Japan, I lived like an empty shell. Living like an empty shell is not really living, no matter how many years it may go on. The heart and flesh of an empty shell give birth to nothing more than the life of an empty shell. This is what I hope I have made clear to you, Mr. Okada.
Does this mean, I ventured, that you never married after returning to Japan?
Of course not, answered Lieutenant Mamiya. I have no wife. No parents or siblings. I am entirely alone.
After hesitating a moment, I asked, "Are you sorry that you ever heard Mr. Honda's prediction?" Now it was Lieutenant Mamiya's turn to hesitate. After a moment of silence, he looked me straight in the face.